Wellness with Mo podcast is a podcast designed to share inspiring stories for the average person. We bring average and normal people who are not celebrities and who are not famous, but who have an inspiring story to share. Because we believe that every human being has an inspiring story to share about their journeys, their struggles, and their lessons they learn as they grow. So welcome back to another episode of Wellness with Mo. In this week's episode, we're going to talk with a dear friend of mine, Dr. Sangeeta Pauly. She's a spiritual top 1% mindfulness voice, ranked number 2 female creator in Germany. And she's going to talk to us about her inspiring story and, you know, and we're going to discuss other things like growth mindsets and so on. So how are you, Sangeeta? How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much for the warm introduction, Mo. And I'm truly honored to be here and excited to share my insights. And today is looking forward to the discussion. So let's dive in.
I mean, I've read things about you on LinkedIn, and I mean, you are definitely an inspiring individual. And I love to listen and know more about your story, because I try as much as possible to spread the good word around the world, the awareness that no matter which culture we are from, we're all the same. No matter which gods or beliefs we have, we all have something common, which is that we are on this earth for a certain purpose. What is it? We don't know. So tell me, what's your journey?
Yeah, that's a great question to get started. So thank you so much once again. To answer your question, I grew up in Kolkata from India, and I have completed my bachelor's in dental school back there. And I initially started working my early career as a dentist, and sooner I started my private dental clinic. And there hit me a realization where actually I kind of realized that the need for the business acumen while running a dental clinic, you know, especially beside managing your patients and your treatment lines. That exactly when I kind of realized that I am getting fascinated with the business operations that I was handling in my daily day-to-day life in the clinic. And one thing led to the other, and that led me to pursue my master in business administration. And that's why I came to Germany, and that's how the story started. So here, I think I took a major leap, and I kind of didn't follow the code that says stay on your lane. So I kind of switched that lane, and I love that part when I did so. And I would just highly encourage everyone out there listening today to forever listen to that inner spark, you know, which ignites you to go and leave your comfort zone. It's not going to something you will regret later. You're just going to look back and see that, that's what it has helped you grow and become better. So I'm so glad I took that leap and exactly understood how I was evolving my mind towards this growth mindset and how I was adapting to this new environment and the culture that I was experiencing. Besides that, I would say I gained quite a handful of extensive experience in sales and marketing once I graduated from my business school in Germany. I worked across various verticals at the same time, pushed myself beyond boundaries to achieve success, if I may call so, emphasizing importance of the stepping stone of the comfort zone. And at the same time, that also let me feel very fulfilled till the pandemic hit us. And during that time, I really, really sat down with myself, realized a lack of fulfillment in my job, what I was doing, how I was doing. Everything was going pretty well. But then it just did hit me hard that maybe I'm still again, you know, falling back into the comfort zone. Maybe I'm not growing enough, or there was a hunger that was coming for more learning. Like I was wanted to pursue something towards continuous learning. And I think also when we were coming out of the pandemic, there was a period of my life where I kind of experienced a significant personal shift. And that led me to desire for a change and some welcome new challenge that I was looking forward. So I wouldn't mind saying that I had my spiritual awakening at that point, and I got introduced to mindfulness. It just came as a rescue, and I felt the urge to share my journey and how it can change everyone's life out there from chaos to calm. So that's why, with that intention, in this year, January, I started the newsletter, The Mindful Minute. And I'm glad I launched it to spread the benefits of mindfulness. It's something that I love doing it because it's my give back to the community. Everything that I've learned through my journey and how I overcame my constant setbacks, I think it's going to help people. And yeah, that's how I am into mindfulness today. And I'm glad that LinkedIn recognized me as one of the top 1% voice. And at the same time, I also trying my best to leave the comfort zone once again that I'm right now. I was working in the sales and marketing domain, like I said. So my next, challenge to myself was leaving that 9-to-5 thing and coming out of it and entering into the footstep of entrepreneurship. That exactly when I wanted to become my entrepreneurial partner with these two companies that I'm working right now with, and mainly focusing on the business development. So yeah, that might.
I agree. I agree with what you're saying. But I have this biased. I'm going to talk about bias. I'm sorry, I don't mean it. But we all in Egypt, we all think that people in India are the most mindful human beings in the world. I mean, through your practices, and this is because all my mentors, because of I'm a mindfulness coach, so I didn't want to take anything from Egypt discussing mindfulness because in Egypt it would be more, you know, of a commercial sale. They want to, you know, sell the idea. So I took it I took my coaching certificate from India from a company called Happitude, and the company was designed for spread awareness of happiness and mindfulness in the workplace. But I was always fascinated with your stories about your gods, and it's so fascinating for me as an Egyptian, as a Muslim, because stories are what keeps our imagination, you know, going on. So I always had that assumption. So I'm definitely incorrect, right? That all Indians are supposedly mindful because they meditate. It's like me saying all Chinese are mindful also. So correct me if I'm wrong.
No. It's I think there are exceptions, but for sure it's a huge country, comes with rich culture and tradition and values. And I'm deeply touched with what you mentioned about, and I love to believe that every Indian is living a very mindful life. And I'm sure faith is something which is a big, I think, bond that we have in the. So for me, it's also quite important. I have been into science. I am a doctor, and at the same time, I had always faith in religion. And it's not about following a particular set of religion, or like you mentioned, there are many deities and superpowers or things like that. But the thing that really struck my chord is basically how attached are we as an individual towards our history, and how we connect the dots moving forward. Like, when I started reading a lot about mindfulness, for example, it has a lot of ancient teachings and tradition which are rooted deeply in our history. And I truly believe in this, that if you don't know your history well enough, it's very difficult to not repeat the mistakes and live a very fulfilling future and create the best out of it. So I think with the religion, we get to hear different sets of stories. We get to listen to, the constant factor that no matter what, even our holy book, Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has kind of said, one should always focus on the kind of deeds and not the actions. We shouldn't expect any outcome. So I really connect and correlate with the growth mindset facet to it. When we are adopting that growth mindset, we tend to believe that Well, here I am trying to work on this matter. I'm not taking this challenge as a challenge. I'm willing to work on it. At the same time, I don't care about the outcome. I don't care about what is going to, lead me towards. So it's all about embracing the failure at the same time. So I think all these beautiful stories really helped us a lot to connect the dots, looking right
For
now
me,
at the
yeah. For me, as a someone who has a different religion and who believes in something different, for me the stories are amazing because they do touch me in a humanly manner, in a humanly sense. Because whatever you say in your holy book, or whatever I say, or whatever my God says in my holy book, and so on, it's the same things. It's the sorry. We should always be kind to each other. We should always give to the poor. We should always be grateful and gratitude, and we should always do good deeds and not bad deeds. So this is a common sense to me. And why I'm asking this, or why I'm saying this, is that lately a lot of people are talking about mindfulness. It has become such a cliche word, to be honest. It's being used in every sentence and every discussion, and it's losing the essence. I mean, I don't know if I'm making sense, but this is what I feel. I mean, like your trip, my trip, when I found mindfulness, was like, something that really I wanted, because this is where I was heading. Indirectly, not even feeling that I'm becoming mindful, but I'm finding that people are mistreating the word. So would you agree? Do you see this kind of like trend during the couple of few years, maybe, or last year, this year? I don't know.
To be honest, I haven't come across that particular set of notion that it has become a pressure. However, I've seen that people are not unaware of the term. They know about, how what mindfulness is all about. I'm not sure if they practice it consciously and how it should be done. But I would say that if it would become a cliche, touch wood, I would love that. I would love that for the humankind. That would be the best thing that can happen to all of us, honestly. So, yeah.
So, we talk about I love the idea of growth mindset versus fixed mindset, and I always talk about it here in Egypt, especially soccer because or football because we're very crazy about football, and when I want to make it very relatable to Egyptian audience is that we have Mohamed Salah in Liverpool, and we have Mido, who was a former player. He played in Arsenal and Ajax and several other European clubs, and I always give that example that Mido, although very talented footballer, is a very fixed had has a very fixed mindset, and Mo Salah is a hardworking footballer, not a talented one. We have to be, but he has a very growth mindset. So that's what makes him more of a superstar and more of a mentally strong. And even Mo Salah recently said in one of his interviews that the most difficult thing is to be mentally strong, not physically. I mean, he said that you can go to the gym 11 hours a day, or 5 hours a day, and do all that, and you will feel strong and feel powerful and so on. But if you're not mentally strong, no matter where you are, you can't really work. So,
Absolutely.
what challenges do you see when you deal with people who are a fixed mindset, and you try and convince them, to become more growth mindset? Because people have both sides. I mean, we do have some fixed and growth, and it depends on which side you're leaning on towards more. So So
Excellent.
for me and you we're most probably leaning towards more growth mindset than the fixed one. So this is the whole point.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, if I just go a little back to answer your question, I think I'm a huge follower of growth mindset, and I have seen people in my very close proximity, be it in family or in the work area, I have come across people who are still holding on to a fixed mindset. And it has, like you said, it has a lot to do with two aspects, I would say. The society has bound us in a way that make people feel shame of, talking about or accepting their failures in front of everyone, right? So I think that's one aspect where you are unwilling to acknowledge failure, and that is the prime area. If I go back to growth mindset, where we are kind of always voicing, I myself champion with my everyday daily post to my community, like embrace failure, be a fool. That's the best thing you can do for yourself. Because if you are not becoming a fool, you are denying yourself of learning something new, isn't it? So I think mostly with people having a fixed mindset, ego plays a big role in there, where they don't want to acknowledge that, their innate talents or abilities, which are already predetermined, that has anything to do with being a fool and being open towards something where they want to learn or improve, because they already conceive the idea that whatever they know, it's sufficient and it's enough. And we must have read about this story in SF Fables when we was a kid, like the turtle and the race between the rabbit, right? So I would say the rabbit, for example, like the fixed mindset holder who thinks that it doesn't matter, I'm gonna win the race no matter what, because I'm biologically made like that. But the thing that we saw in the story, how turtle made it to the end point by keeping that constant hunger and that, foolish attitude that no matter what, I'm gonna give my best. And through improvements and through practice, you can beat talents. So this is something which many people are witnessing out there, that it's not, at the end of the day, everything all about talents or skills. Everything is trainable. But at the same time, when we talk about mindset, now that is also trainable. I believe so. We can train people from going a fixed point set of mind towards a growth mindset, but that needs a lot of training, a lot of coaching, and a lot of openness and adaptability towards, accepting this. And it's not easy to do it in one go. It's going to take some time. Because, like I said in the very beginning, the society has kind of, made us believe so far that we always talk about success stories. No one talks about failures. No one talks about, okay, how I failed in starting 10 startups and my 11th one just hit the road. So there's all kind of things, which are taboos out there. I think it's changing. The change is in the air, but we have a long way to go.
I agree because you see, people always judge people who are successful when those people have reached to that point of success. I mean, for example, oh, I wish I'm Bill Gates. Oh, I wish I'm Steve Jobs. Oh, I wish I'm Elon Musk. Oh, whoever. But for these people to reach that point, for any successful person, and that's my opinion, to reach at that point, he or she must have failed so many times because failure is part of being successful. No one can be successful without failure. The problem is, Sangeeta, is that many people here, even in Egypt, I mean, society norms, they would judge a person if they failed as if they did, something unspeakable, as if they're not worthy of working with, or as if it's how could you fail? How could you fail? We never failed. But people don't realize, no, we do fail. We do fail. We don't have to fail big, but we do fail in a certain area, and we learn and we pick up. So it's, very, very challenging what people say and what you say. And the biggest problems I see, and correct me if wrong, and that's the question, is that the generations differ in terms of mindset. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know, I'm asking you this question. The older generation, which is Gen X, I think, right? Gen X, yeah, the older generation, the ones the 70, the ones born in the 70s or maybe before.
The baby boomers. Yeah, the baby boomers, I guess.
They have more trouble of accepting failure than a millennial or Gen Z. So, does it differ the mindset between generations? That's my question. Is it different or?
I would agree with you. I have seen that a lot in the latest generation, people are becoming more aware of growth mindset. All that hustling culture is turning on all of a sudden. I see that thing pretty back in my country as well. So the young generation is very motivated, they're hungry. They are aiming for the kill, but it wasn't the case back when we were the kids in the 90s. We didn't see this in back then. So I definitely agree with you here. It has to do with a lot of generational shame, or I don't know, that societal taboo that it has to offer. Because often, like I said, back then the society was everything to the Generation X, I guess. But for millennials, we kind of believe in, doing our own thing and creating our own fate or destiny. We don't rely so much on the opinion of the society. So that's also another topic I might indulge on, that people have become more opinionated. They have their own voice. They have the free will to make a choice in their career. So I could speak for myself. So when I was making a decision in my life back, when I was thinking of, switching down the lane, I could do it, and my parents were there to support me in every decision that I took. And I'm so super glad. But I would not expect the same would have happened when they were growing up and they were in their early 20s, and they would never make that kind of leap, for example. So I think economical structure was also pretty much relevant to this topic. People back then in those generations, they kind of struggled to meet ends, and at the same time wanted to provide the basic and the good education to their children, which in turn the millennial generation has that kind of liberty to go out and have that kind of choices making out for themselves. Either they're choosing to stay single or taking a different career altogether, or let's say changing countries or living across continents. So this has become more common, I would say. So the fact with the access of internet, and again with the right education, people are growing and they're learning a lot. So the mindset is shifting. I think maybe the digital transformation has a role in play here, maybe. But
Yeah, maybe, but do you believe that people who are born as growth mindsets, I mean, people are born who are growth mindsets, or is it is it something that they learn? Because I mean, I'm a different person in my family. I'm the only one in my family. My brother, my uncles, my cousins, they all have very safe jobs. Let's put it that way. They all have very safe jobs. They don't do crazy things like I do. Because this is how my wife would label me, that I'm a risk taker and I don't really think about the consequences. She's right. She's correct. She's absolutely correct. I am a risk taker, but I do think about the consequences. But I always have that idea is, I fail, I learn something new. But that's me, so it's what I believe is, all what you said is correct in terms of internet and technology, and there's a lot of information out there for the young generations. But for me, as an older generation, I didn't have all that technology, but I have like a will, a hunger inside me that I really need to satisfy. And you talked about change, and recently I was talking about change, that we have to always change every day, every now and then. Change is an ultimate thing. So do you believe that we're born like this, or is it something that we get to learn on the way to become, a growth mindset, and in turn, when we become growth mindset, we become more mindful, even if we don't say we're mindful. You know, I mean, everything's connected
Yes,
together.
yes,
So
yes.
I'm
Absolutely.
just saying, so what do you think?
That's a brilliant question. And I must say that if I were to answer that, I would say no, we are not born with either a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. We are born with a mind. And it's up to us and our circumstances, in a specific environment that we grow up. We see, people around us. Everything has a role in shaping our mindset, and it can evolve for good or it can worsen for worse. So I truly believe in that power. So it's possible to nurture a fixed mindset and then train it to become a growth mindset. But at the same time, it's also possible having a growth mindset and then shifting towards a fixed mindset once the ego hits in. You see what I'm saying? So it's actually on us when we are still open to learn a lot and follow the continuous learning pathway, or are we given to our own ego and we feel like, okay, you know what? I'm the best and I think I know everything. And that's where your downfall starts and it hits you. So it has very less to do with the fact that you're born with it or not. I think it's something that it can be always cultivated, given the fact you have the right tools and the right know-hows and the right people around you. So that's also equally important.
I always think that a growth mindset person is a rebellious person, is a rebel in his family. I think it has some correlation, being a rebel in your family and not really agreeing about the status quo. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I would just add a quick small word like rebel with a cause.
A rebel with a cause. Yes. I agree. I agree. I think that's what makes a good, the best growth mindsetters. You have to be a rebel, with a cause, with an idea, and you don't want to, follow the same path as everyone else. And this is why people, don't misunderstand me. Not the ones that support me, but people who don't really know me, misunderstand what I do. And it's very difficult to explain to them that I do something that you wouldn't want to do, because I don't want to be very rude, but because you don't have the guts to do it. This is what I want to, they don't have the bravery and say to yourself, yes, I'm going to take that step in the unknown and try it. You don't have that. I feel I'm privileged to do that. It doesn't work all the time, 90% I fail, but having that idea, and that I can put myself in danger and see how things will turn out, is really important. My question to you is that we talk about mindfulness a lot, and there are challenges, and people, I think, know all about the practices, meditation, journaling, taking a deep breath in, thinking. But why do you think people are still, distracted? They're not concentrating today. I mean, is it? I mean, it definitely it's partly because of our mobiles. But what? Why are they not able to? Why is it difficult for them to become mindful?
That's a great question. I think mindfulness is just not limited to sitting quietly, counting your breath, or scribbling some of your thoughts in a journal. Most people often their habits, I would call it, But it isn't all about that. I think to me, it's a superpower in itself that can help you apply to every moment of your life. So there are a few aspects. Let me just give you an example. If you can imagine yourself as a detective, and detectives are always solving crimes, and here you are the detective, and you are solving the mystery of your own mind. So one key aspect in here would be awareness. I think it's like turning on a spotlight in a dark room, for example. It just you start noticing everything all of a sudden, right? So you start smelling the morning coffee, or you can hear the birds outside your window, or for example, I don't know, you start noticing, how your breath feels, for example. So it's like waking up from this autopilot all of a sudden and start really living. I think this has a lot to do with the awareness that people are not aware of. And the distraction comes from the fact when there's no acceptance. People are very, there's a thing which is going on right now is they are in the mode of instant gratification. So there's no patience, that more. So that I think that if you are being okay with whatever life throws at you, be it on your lows and on your highs, whether it's a traffic jam or you're facing a bad day at work, instead of fighting against it or becoming impatient, if you embrace everything with open arms and knowing that everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, whatever is happening, is just part of the journey, I think that just makes it more easy. It just makes it so much easier. And at the same time, I think compassion is also underrated. I don't need compassion for others here. I mean compassion for yourself. So it's like, giving yourself a warm hug when you are feeling down, acknowledging that you are human as well and it's okay to make mistakes. So like I said, I think the shame also had to do with a fixed mindset is that they don't acknowledge that they are free to make mistakes. They don't see it in that way. And it's all connected. So it's like treating yourself with the same kindness and understanding that, well, whatever I did, it was just, going to get better. And I can just treat the same compassion to myself like I do to my best friend or a dear family member, for example. So it's very important to do that. And lastly, I would say, let's not forget the immense power of gratitude. I believe, like, wear it like your glasses, which can help you look at the beauty and wonders around you in the world. Even when you're focusing on the lack, just don't stay there. Start immediately switch your thing and focus on what you have. And, start making all the small habits and cultivate that sense of contentment that it comes with. And that kind of appreciation comes with that little things. It's very important. So it's also, the connection that we feel with mindfulness is not just with yourself or with your phone or with the world around you. But when you're truly present in a moment, you start to notice that there's a lot in the beauty that it has to surround in that moment. And you become attuned to the need of others. So for example, if you're alone, you could just indulge if you're doing if you're reading a book, you could involve in mindful reading. You could just observe a plant outside that would lead to a mindful observation. If you are sitting with someone, you could listen mindfully to that person speaking. So I think it helps you kind of friend with your own emotions. It's much more, I think, than meditation or, journaling. I think it's basically you don't run away from your emotions and you don't let your emotions run wild on you either. It's basically helps you to find your center. You know when you're angry, you know when you're sad, and you just don't judge yourself. You let every emotion pass you by the clouds. You're the sky.
You remind me of a meditation my mentors used to tell us.
I'm so glad.
You do.
That means a lot.
I think it's called Rasa Sadhana. I'm not really sure, but it goes like this. You're sitting in a forest under a magical tree, and you start meeting the worst feelings, worst emotions. So for example, the first one would come, it would be the disgust emotion, and you would treat the disgust as you know, as a person, and appreciate this person and tell him, I mean, without you, I wouldn't feel, disgusted. I mean, without you, you have an important role. And the meditation goes on like this, and in anger and fear, and then we go into the more positive emotions, and it always reminded me of the animation Inside Out, if you remember it. It's true about emotions. This is if you truly accept the emotions that you have, it's really important, because that's what I believe. The problem is, Sangeeta, and people think we are mindful that we do not have our bad days and do not have our low days. This is a really mistaken misconception that we are always supposed to be a po positive and optimistic, which is correct, because we are by nature that we are optimistic, because we know that life is short, no matter what you believe, and you need to leave a legacy on Earth to say that you lived here. So you want to do the best things in your life. What are other tools would you advise people to use in mindfulness practices? Because everything's on the internet, everyone's saying, and so I wanted to know if you have something like special tool that you use that has helped you in the
You
past.
want me to spill out all my bins?
No,
By
give
the
one small secret you have. Share one secret with us.
Okay. I will not make it too difficult, and I
Okay.
wouldn't overwhelm everyone. I would just simply stick to what I did preach this morning on LinkedIn. So if you could just do that, I think it's a good start. For
Okay.
anyone who is willing to get started, I think, for example, breath, how you breathe, it's a tool. And I think breath in itself is mindfulness. So if you can enjoy and reap the benefits of using that tool, it's going to give you immense benefits to boost your mind. And you can always start all over again. So you just have to just, inhale and exhale and just do it and constant. And I think, to be honest, I feel that mindfulness is more than just a practice, and it's a way of life.
Yeah,
It's
agreed.
not about waking up to the richness of each moment, embracing, that present and finding peace and joy in those tiny moments every now. It's in your consciousness, and it's in the aware of your consciousness, and it's not something also you can achieve once and then forget about it. So I think it's a constant lifelong journey of your self-discovery.
Yeah.
And no matter how much ever, short tips or this quick hacks, and people are so interested in all these quick hacks, like they are
Yeah.
interested in hooks, like five
Yeah.
tips, quick on the go. It's not like that. It's unfortunately, it's not so easy. It's something that you have to do every day, and you
Yeah.
have to make part of your lifelong journey, just like exercising a muscle. So if you go to a gym, you don't gain your biceps immediately, right? You need to visit. As long as you're visiting, you're taking your proteins, and you are maintaining everything, it's going to show up in real time. So
Yeah.
I think, like that, you have to cultivate mindfulness. The more you will find yourself living with clarity, purpose, and joy, I think the stronger it becomes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Like, and you said that in the beginning, that people like to have instant gratification. And in actual fact, one of my favorite writers and all-time idols, I would say, for me, is Simon Sinek, and he had that one of the famous videos, and he talked about instant gratification, and that if they can design an app for instant gratification, people wouldn't mind. I mean, I had to have an instant gratification, and people tend to forget that the small wins are more important than the bigger wins. People don't celebrate, Sangeeta, the small wins, this small stuff, and it's like very small thing. I mean, it's very normal things. For example, if I want to lose weight, and I put a big target, and I didn't lose that weight, but I did lose some weight, during the week. Why shouldn't I celebrate? I mean, I did do something. I did achieve something. That is the issue with people today. I think, like I said, mindfulness is a way of life. It is not. People here in Egypt think that it is sitting quietly and doing nothing and meditating.
Exactly.
Maybe it is part of it, but it's not all of it. It's not that.
It's not more than that.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to ask you something. What is a word or a sentence that best describes you?
Oh, that's a great one. If you had to describe Sangeeta in a word, like in a line with
Yeah.
few words, okay. Ooh, I would just say that do it with passion or not at all.
Okay. I would say you're a joy bringer.
I'm always like champion of this part because I told you and kind of we were discussing that, you know, the rebel with the cause kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing that's a rebel, but you know, it's also not something that I never enjoyed the fact that how society has put everyone of us inside a box. Like, this is
Yeah.
your biological age to complete your graduation. Then it's your time to get settled down. Then it's your biological clock is ticking. You need to rush and become a mother. Oh, forget it. I mean, no, you just can't put me in a box. I am meant to stand out and I'm gonna do it. So that,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm a rebel there. And I don't apologize for saying it in that way because I have a cause, I have a purpose, I have a message with
You
it.
shouldn't apologize at all. I mean, if you consider yourself a rebel, you consider yourself a rebel. I would consider yourself a joy bringer, someone who brings joy to everyone,
Thank
because
you.
you have such lovely energy that you bring with you. I can feel it. And for those
Thank you
who are
so much.
listening, you're welcome. You're welcome. But this is true. This is true. It's very natural, and you would understand this. You would always feel the energy of a person if he's being genuine and authentic or not, or is he's just, pretending. You always know. So for me, I think you're a very joyful and joy bringer, that you bring all this joy to
So
us.
much.
Thank
That
you,
means
thank
a lot.
you,
Thank you. Thank
thank you,
you so much.
Singita. And finally, what is your dream?
Dream as in going forward. So, like I said, I dream of celebrating my small wins now. I don't have a big dream. I
Okay.
don't overwhelm myself. I think if I'm following the growth mindset, then it comes with the fact that you got to give yourself those tiny cookies from time to time. And
Okay.
I am totally believing in that. For now, I have few targets for this remaining days of May, and then I'm
Okay.
looking forward to June, and I'm taking every day at a time, one baby step at a time, and that's
Okay.
gonna lead me where I'm meant to be.
And keep a cookie for me, please.
Shoot, I have the whole packet.
Oh, thank you. So kind. You're so kind. Singita, thank you for being with me. You've been such a pleasure. I'm so honored and humbled to have you.
Thank you so much.
I call you the joy bringer of today. You brought me a lot of joy today. I mean, I really thank you from the bottom of my
Pleasure is
heart.
all mine from the bottom of
Oh,
my heart. I
thank
just
you.
enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much, Anand.
And at last we did it, I mean, for those who are listening with us, we've been playing cat and mouse or Tom and Jerry, whatever you want to say, for the past few weeks. It's been very, very challenging. But
See,
again,
we are the true growth mindset followers here. We didn't
of
give
course,
up.
we didn't give
And you
up,
should.
of course. Yeah, of course. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in for a new episode with Wellness with Mo. Next week we'll have a new guest, and I hope he or she will be more will have a more insightful story. Until then, God bless you and keep safe.